The Ask Theory podcast shines the spotlight on Pinoy scientists from various scientific disciplines. Listen to some of the country's best scientific minds as they explain what they do in simple terms and share fascinating stories of how they got into science, the incredible things they've learned about the world around us, and so much more. Isha Mayuga is a sustainable mobility professional with 6 years of experience in the field, tackling different topics such as cycling, building community spaces, and mobility justice. She is the founder of Life Cycles PH, an initiative in the pandemic that helped 1,500 essential workers get home on bicycles, and is a member of mobility groups such as ALT Mobility PH and Move As One Coalition. Hi, Keisha. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Mikael. Happy to be here.
Yes, kumusta? How was your day?
Okay naman. I live in Berlin. So ngayon pa-fall na. Maraming pa-fall dyan. Pero dito, pa-fall talaga. Medyo problematic kasi usually at this time of year, it gets colder. Pero ngayon, ang inip. So, climate change po.
How long have you been there?
I've been here for almost 2 years.
Oh.
So I took up my studies here, an MBA in Sustainable Mobility Management, because, you know, I wanted to help solve then, you know, our mobility problems in the Philippines, and may mga topics na baka hindi natin or hindi masyadong tinuturo sa Pilipinas, and I wanted to see what it's like also globally, how people are doing it. So kaya ako nag-umalis to Berlin in late 2021.
A very noble cause for a problem that pretty much every Filipino has experienced. Kahit siguro yung mga sobrang yamanin dyan, alam din naman siya paano yung struggle, because we all live here. So
yes, exactly. Correct.
Paghihirap.
Yeah, I know. And kaya ako actually sa field ng mobility is because everybody experiences it. Whenever I tell people, I'm working on transport mobility. Lahat ng tao may say all that. Kasi nga, precisely, because people feel it every day. People have to do it every day. Even people who have to work from home can feel it. Kasi no matter what, something will be transported to them. Like my delivery, my kahit ano. So transport is really an essential part of our lives every day. Every day. And that's why I want to help solve it. Kasi, yun, nakita mo naman yung Pilipinas.
Natirahan for basically all of my life. Ayan. And tama ka na kahit yung mga home-based professionals ay nararanasan yan. Ako, for example, ma-share ko lang sa mga nakikinig sa atin ngayon na even before the pandemic started, I've been working from home. So medyo nung, I think we talked about this earlier before this recording, na by the time everyone was trying to get used to like staying at home, working at home, looking for opportunities to earn a living kahit di sila makapasok sa work, medyo sanay na ako, or as nasabi nga, parang ahead of the curve, but in a way na I wish hindi na lang. Parang no one anticipated or wanted what happened to us for 3 years. But point is, kahit nasa bahay ako nun, and well, nasa bahay tayong lahat, and you know, mobility was basically limited due to regulations, ramdam pa rin natin, tama ka, yung struggles of mobility because of yung challenges of having food delivered, essential travel. Nabanggit ko nga kanina, you were part of an initiative, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more later, na nakatulong sa mga essential workers nung panahon ng kasagsagan ng pandemic na makauwi using bicycles. But can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and maybe some of the other projects na currently you're busy with?
Yeah, sure. So actually, nagtapos ako ng UP with a journalism degree. Hindi naman talaga ako in transport before.
Oh yeah, sorry. But, wait, nabanggit mo yung journalism. Any relation to the journalist Jonathan Mayuga?
You know what? Good question. Kasi until now, hindi ko din alam until now. Pero environmental journalist siya, diba? So hindi ko pa rin siya natatanong or na-approach. I should probably reach out to him. But anyway.
Yeah, sorry about that. Anyway.
Parang hindi ko yung first na nagtanong nun.
Kasi parang ako yung L eh.
Yeah, exactly. I'm also asking myself. Pero for now, hindi ko alam. Maybe I will use my journalism skills to
investigate.
To find out. Ganun. So, yeah, I finished journalism nga in UP Diliman, and then I was working for a company in Makati, and I was making a commute from Cavite to Makati every day. And then one day, yung isang colleague ko who I carpooled with, stuck kami sa traffic on the Skyway going home.
Mm-hmm.
And traffic na noon sa Skyway.
Yeah.
crazy. Pero yung kinakwento niya na sobrang lungkot siya noon kasi every time she needed to leave home, 5 a.m., tulog yung anak niya na 3 years old at the time. Yung anak niya, hindi niya na nakikita kasi tulog pa siya. And then pag-uwi niya, so umalis kami ng office mga 6 or 7, pag-uwi niya mga 10 or 9,
tulog na naman.
So never niya na kakabonding yung anak niya. And she had just come from being like a full-time mother for 2 years. So to never see her son awake was kind of crazy to her.
Yeah.
So, yun, that's when I realized when, ano, nagkakwento siya na, alam mo, ayoko ng ganun. Like, ayoko ng mga pamilya, ng mga tao na hindi nakakagawa ng mga gusto nilang bagay or, you know, to spend time with family, to do hobbies. I don't want their time to be wasted in traffic or waiting for a jeep or, you know, risking their life to go home cycling or doing anything just because they want to go home. And I found that so unjust. So from that night onward, I think that was 2016,
mm-hmm.
October, around this time, September, October, I realized na I want to be in transport. And so that's how I ended up here. And I'm still fighting the good fight after some years. But yeah, it's been a challenge, especially kasi yun nga, transport affects everybody. And so 2017, I started taking my master's in urban and regional planning, so UP then. And I also started working with UP Bike Share, and then I really started getting into cycling. Like, because cycling before wasn't really like means of transport for a lot of people, not like it is now mm-hmm. for more people. But before, it was just a hobby, you know? Or ako mismo, I stopped cycling until I got to college again when I realized na pwede pala ako magbike to school. So, ano, nung journey pa ako, I was biking to school and people thought that was crazy. So, I wanted to make it less crazy and more normal. So, ayun, I started really advocating for bicycles, for cycling, for also public transport kasi commuter ako nun going to UP and etc. You know, all transport modes. Tinatry ko talaga. So, yeah. And then, I already mentioned earlier, pumunta ko to Berlin to study some more. And now I'm here. I just finished and now I'm still here.
Yeah. Well, yun nga. Ang usapin ng grabe, no, yung impact nung commute or ng struggles ng bawat Filipino commuter in everyday life was enough for you to make that choice. It's not an easy choice kasi parang sa lahat ng problemahin mo o pwede mong problemahin, di ba? Yung problema pa ng lahat ng tao na parang ilang taon na nating dinadaing pero hindi pa rin masolve, na sa dinami-dami ng road widening, dinami-dami ng pagtatayo ng mga dagdag na namang tulay at skyway at ano pa, pero hanggang ngayon, ganito pa rin. And yun nga, nabanggit nga yung cycling, nabanggit yung... Siyempre kasi there are other, yung nabanggit mo na people thought it was a bad idea to ride a bicycle. And there are reasons why people have that. And I think we'll be talking about that later. But for now, there's this keyword na nabanggit ko kanina when I was introducing you. I said the word sustainable mobility. So the words sustainable and mobility, may sarili-sarili silang meaning na na-associate natin. For example, sustainable, siguro mas karamihan sa atin think about the environment. But what exactly do we mean when we say sustainable mobility?
Yeah, you know, actually, sinabi ko nga kanina, everybody needs to move and everybody needs mobility. And actually, before I say what sustainable mobility is, I will define first, ano ba yung mobility and ano ba yung transport? Kasi actually, dalawang terms sila na magkaiba, but very similar. So first, transport is, you know, you get from A to B with a car, with a bike, sa jeep, sa tricycle, that's transport. Yung mga trucks, you know, moving goods, that's transport. But mobility is our ability to answer our needs. So, for example, your mobility as a person working from home, you have mobility to be able to do things because you have the internet. You're able to work and meet your needs because there's also mobility of your, like, my delivery, etc. So it's less about the transport, but more about the kind of ability that you have as a person. Kaya, you know, mobility, people also say upward mobility or economic mobility or maganon, because it's your ability to be able to answer your needs. So yeah, when we're talking about mobility in general, it's also like answering our needs as people. Do we need to get from A to B, but do we need a car? Do we need 3 cars? No, you just need to get from A to B in a way that is, now getting into it, sustainable. Kasi at this rate, if people wanted to get cars, or sa Pilipinas, if we kept building for cars and we expect that the view of success is to have a car for a Filipino, imagine 15 million, around 15 million daytime population sa Metro Manila. Imagine everybody owning a car there. We won't have space to fit all of those cars, even if we had parking lots, even if we put them on top of buildings, it's not going to fit.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about sustainable mobility, how do we want to move now and also in the future, in 50 years? Like, do we want to keep driving a car? I don't think naturally people want to drive a car. I think people naturally want to get from A to B in a dignified, safe, and economical, efficient way.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And actually, when you were defining these terms, ang naisip ko agad, there was this thing that I read, don't focus on moving cars, focus on moving people.
Exactly.
So, exactly. Diba? Parang,
the cars don't go to work, it's the people who go to work. You know, and people in the cars. And people view sometimes na the only way to get anywhere is buy a car. Pero actually, in other countries, you can see and it shows na there are different ways for you to get from A to B, no matter the economic class, no matter the anything. And even like the ability, disability, that really plays into what kind of mobility you want to plan for in the future. And kung puro kotse lang, or kung nagbibid lang tayo na, and focus lang natin is, how do we make more parking lots? How do we make more skyways? Yeah, it's not gonna serve everybody.
Yeah, agree. And that's actually why, by choice, wala akong sasakyan. I mean, una, hindi ko afford. Pangalawa.
Yeah, in this economy?
Yeah, in this economy, parang, pangalawa, hindi ko rin naman sobrang need because I work from home. And, you know, I like walking. I actually really enjoy walking. So I walk to the grocery. I walk around the community if I need something. So parang, lakarin ko na lang. Kung 30 minutes lang naman din nalakad or 20 minutes, kaya naman yan. But, yeah. Yung idea nga na that most people have na the only way you can get around is with a car. So naisip ko suddenly yung mabalik tayo dun sa your choice of transportation back when you were studying dito, which was you were biking. And I have to ask, would you consider the Philippines as biker friendly? And bakit?
Gusto ko i-quote dito ang isang bike Twitterer. Twitterer talaga.
Twitterer.
So, bike people from the Philippines saying that Manila or the Philippines is a bike city or country in denial.
A bike city in denial.
Which,
okay.
Is true. Yeah, because so many people want to cycle. So many people do cycle. Pero hindi lang built for cyclists ang cities in our country. Like, I wouldn't say it's friendly, but the bikers are friendly. But to say it's biker friendly, I think it's a stretch for now. And I think it got worse when they lifted the ban or the mobility ban, and then all the cars started. You know, flowing.
Oh, balik sa labas.
Exactly. So, hindi mas naging, actually, mas naging hostile yung mga kotse sa cyclists.
Mas naging hostile.
Yeah. But I think it's because, so the funny thing is, so during the pandemic, we were able to build, as in the Philippines, was able to build almost 1,000 kilometers of bike lanes across the whole country. Uh-huh. So you would think that it's bike friendly.
Yeah.
But there were some effects that we didn't foresee. For example, even when I was there before I left, a lot of the cars would get mad at me for leaving the bike lane because the bike lane had an obstruction or my kotse or
may
something.
May poste, ganyan.
Exactly, may poste. And then, magagalit sa akin yung kotse or yung motorist kasi sasabihin nila, oy, dyan ka lang sa bike lane. Meron na ang bike lane for you. Dyan ka lang. And to which, you know, I respond, hello, it's if it was a perfect bike lane.
Eh di sana.
Yeah, hindi pwede sana. Pero, sir, medyo ayoko.
Hindi ko kayang tumagos sa mga pader-pader.
Exactly. Hindi naman ako parang Spider-Man. Pero, yeah, it gave this kind of hostility because there were a lot more cyclists on the road. And that, you know, the rules were also very vague for drivers, please. Kasi, I mean, in our driver's exams before the pandemic, wala namang anything about cyclists, actually. wala namang rules. So, okay. Parang, bahala na kayo. Ganon.
Bahala na kayo.
Kasi kung kayo mamatay, kayo na yan. Ganon. Pero, yeah, I think now, while there are more and more cyclists, I think it's even better to make it clear to drivers. Now, we are just flesh and bone, and you have a huge hunk of metal protecting you. I think, you know, to be kind to these people who are just flesh and bone walking, cycling, etc. It should be that they're the priority, that we are the priority as cyclists and pedestrians because we have no protection against the speed of a car or of a motorcycle or like, you know, a huge chunk of metal just hitting you.
Yeah.
Versus even if you just like wear a helmet, if it hits your body, it's not gonna save you.
That's, yeah, exactly.
So I think we are not yet in the biker-friendly phase of the Philippines, but we have a lot of people fighting for that. And that inspires me all the time. Na maraming cyclists really fighting for safer streets, not just for cyclists, but also for everybody, for pedestrians, for elderly, etc.
It's good that you mentioned everybody. Kasi naisip ko like, oh, yeah, definitely there is a need to improve the infrastructure for bikers here in the Philippines. But also, not everyone is a biker. And you know, everyone feels yung pressures and the challenges of transport here in the Philippines. Kahit hindi sila nagbibisikleta. Case in point, commuters. Mga nagte-train, nagje-jeep, nagbabas. Would you describe the Philippines as commuter-friendly?
Again, this is even harder because the commuters are not necessarily friendly to each other. We're just trying to get home. But commuter friendly, I don't think so. Because it's not even in the metric of DOTR, for example, to help commuters as people. It's always talking about, I mean, when we're building public transport, it's always talking about the equipment, the whatever, the jeepneys, the vehicles, but what about the people? What about the passengers? And what about the workers, the drivers of jeepneys, of buses, etc.? I don't think, you know, it's not like they want to be stuck in traffic. It's not like anybody wants to stand in line for the MRT dun sa show, yun sa pinakababa, mahabang stairs. I don't think it is. I really don't think it is. And I actually wrote my thesis about that. My recommendation was for public transport, like EDSA Carousel, which was my focus, it should be that commuter waiting time, at the very least, should be the metric that they should be solving. Because if commuters are waiting for longer than an hour for something that, for a trip that will just be like 20 minutes, I think that's really a failed system. And another thing that came out of my study was that actually sometimes the waiting feeling, I mean, the feeling of waiting is longer because of the stress of the environment. For example, like, hindi alam kung saan pipila, saan ba talaga ipipila, or mainit, or nagpo-flood, or umuulan. It makes the wait feel even longer, and we're not protecting our commuters from that. I mean, it's so undignified. After working, you're gonna have to wait, stand in line,
you ubos know, buhay.
Na, oo nga, hindi mo alam kung makakapasok ka pa ng bus or hihintay mo na yung next bus. Pero alam mo yun, parang sobrang unfair talaga na after a day's work or even just before you go to work, you have to subject yourself to this kind of like experience that's so inhumane that at this point, it's so hard for people who are commuting to even, you know, to even think or to see that we deserve more. We deserve better. We shouldn't normalize na, pipila ako ng 5 a.m. kasi alam mo naman yung MRT. Parang no, you know, I know it's that shouldn't be life.
That's oh my God. May naalala tuloy ako. I was a fresh grad in 2010. And I was on my way to my interview for my first job. Mm-hmm. So for context, I lived in Quezon City and yung inapplyan kong trabaho was sa Taguig. So I had to take the MRT from Cubao to Ayala and then take another jeep, etc., etc. So nung hapon, after my interview, pauwi na ako nun. Nag-MRT ako. So nag-ipon yung mga tao sa MRT. So parang nararamdaman ko, parang may pader na sa likod ko ah. Pero okay lang, sige. Nasa harapan naman ako. Siguro naman makakasakay ako pagbukas ng pinto. So dumating yung train. Pagbukas ng pinto, pader din. Para silang parang spam. Parang laman ng spam yung train. So may surge of people na lumalabas. May surge of people sa likod ko na tinutulak, na pinipilit tumulak paloob. And I was in the middle. Lumusot ako sa platform. Lumusot yung dalawa. Kasi naalala ko talaga sinabi yung dignified. Naalala ko yung pinaka-undignified experience ko.
Grabe, lumusot ako sa platform. You're the first time.
Both legs. Lumusot ako sa platform. And I was like, oh shit, am I gonna die here? Mamamatay na ba ako? Hindi pa ako nakapagtrabaho. So tinulungan ako ng mga tao. Hinatak nila ako. Bakit? So imagine mo, naka-long sleeve ako dahil nga interview ganyan. Tapos ang ice-ice na itsura ko before paglabas ko, para akong hinabol ng siguro tatlong aso ganyan. And then sobrang gulo-gulo yung ano ko. And the worst part was, hindi pa rin ako nakasakay.
Nung
tinulungan nila ako, tapos pinaupo nila ako dun sa likod, di syempre yung mga tao nagsipasukan mo. So parang, ano ko nangyari sa akin?
Grabe though, I'm so sorry to hear, pero yun yung mga ganun experiences. Funny siya, pero dapat di siya nangyayari.
Diba? Natawanan ko na lang siya ngayon, pero I legit thought I was gonna die.
Yeah, pero gets. Dapat hindi kasi ganun yung experience, hindi ganun mabuhay, pero kasi sa conditions talaga ngayon na you know, that's presented to us in the Philippines. Parang walang choice yung mga tao. That's the sad thing. It feels like they don't have a choice. Yun. Yeah. Hopefully, we do have more choices in the future. But, yun.
And that you bring up a very important point. That feeling of not having a choice. And I think part of that stems from the fact that so many people here, you know, it's interesting, no? We're not exactly the richest country. We know this. We make fun of this. This has been our characterization natin, mga resilient tayo, mga maano sa hirap ng buhay. And the root of it is that hindi tayo mayaman tayong bansa, pero for some reason, hindi tayo namumuhay ng mayamang pamumuhay. But at the same time, ang daming sasakyan dito. But I'm trying to understand, why did the Philippines become seemingly so dependent on cars?
Alam mo, parang ang feeling mo talaga pag tingin mo sa EDSA, di ba? Siguro paglabas mo ngayon. Pag nakita mo ngayon, 10 p.m. na siya. Or kahit gabi.
Yeah, actually.
It's still traffic, probably.
Yeah, if nasa building ka, tapos parang nasa top floor ng building and you take a peek, while you're at the office, and you take a peek sa labas ng bintana, parang puro pulang ilaw. Ganun.
Yeah, Pasko na talaga sa Pilipinas.
Every day, Pasko. Diba?
Everyday Pasko, September na po. So, pero hindi yan nangyari overnight kasi, alam mo, I mean, ngayon sa lagay na yan, 6% lang ng Pilipinos may kotse. And grabe. Imagine, 1% ng mga Pilipino na nakakotse, traffic na agad.
Traffic pa rin.
Ganyan yung volume. Yeah. Ganyan ng volume. Imagine talaga if it rose even more. It's terrible. It was already before, maybe 10 years ago, it was 11%. But now, naglabas yung serving SWS, it's 6%. It's even like less, but they're taking the most space.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Pero, ayun, it wasn't overnight. I mean, hindi lang nag-appear in Fortune out of nowhere. It really stemmed from a lot of colonial upbringing. Mm-hmm. Pero really, from our colonial past, we're so obsessed, for example, with the American dream of having a car, a house, etc., a job. And a part of that is really to have a car. And sila yung una nagdala ng mga kotse dito sa Pilipinas. And in fact, the jeep is from the American jeepney. And alongside with the cars, we also adopted the American style of planning for cars. Because they also are very addicted to cars. They're building like highways, etc. And a lot of our standards actually from the DPWH comes from American standards and also Japanese standards. So in Japan, they've been helping us build more roads and it seems really good. And I also used to think, wow, thank you so much, Jaika, for this underpass in Makati for more cars to fit. But then I later realized, oh wait, you're fitting more cars?
Yeah.
Because they have a special interest, of course, because they make cars.
Yes.
You know, they're small. They're like, oh, we don't want the cars to be here. We want the cars to be in other parts of Asia, including the Philippines. So, and hence, you know, really a combination of these things. That's why we're so car dependent. And aside from that, yun nga yung the outlook or the view, the old view of people wanting to own cars. I think younger people now don't want to own cars because they realize it. Na parang hindi ata worth it magbayad ng thousands habang hindi ako makapagpili ng car. Pero true, it's so hard to own a car in the Philippines if you're trying to live kasi tumaas na rin yung lahat ng ano ng cost of living dyan sa Pilipinas.
Yeah.
It's just not making sense to own a car. But I think it's possible to reverse this dependency. Yun nga, if we presented options for people. Because, again, people drive cars because they feel like they don't have a choice. Yeah, they feel like that. And that's how people get stuck in their transport choices, is they feel like walang choice. In most cases, there really isn't a lot of nice choices.
Nice choices.
Ayun, kaya tayo na-stuck.
Yeah, and nabanggit mo yung not wanting to own a car. Naalala ko tuloy. Another thing that I don't like about cars, grabe na magagalit sila at may-ari ng sasakyan sa akin. Sorry naman, hindi ko afford. But also kasi, I don't like that it depreciates in value. Para siyang like, gumastos ka tapos, hindi mo talaga masusulit ever yung perang nilagay mo dun. Because you won't be able to sell that for the same price that you got it. It's just how things work. But also, pati yung mismo yung value niya, yung mileage, yung ano. Like, over time, you will have to, especially if you've become reliant on having a car, you will have to buy eventually a new one. Or if you're really, really good at maintaining your old one, yung maintenance costs of it, parang hindi ko kaya talaga. Hindi ko afford.
Yeah, exactly. And to own a car is around maybe 300,000 pesos. Including like upkeep, etc. annually. So, okay. If you want to save 100,000 pesos, don't buy a car. And for people who own cars, I'm so sorry for your loss. Sorry to all car users. But you know, really think about that. Kung may options ba kayo. May mga people who really still use a car going from Makati to BGC, for example. But in reality, that's just a 20-minute bike ride. Or if the bus is working like it was before, it's just like 10 minutes bus from dun sa may Ayala to going into BGC. So, yeah, you know, if we had these choices, I think people would be so happy to shift.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think my next question for you would be a bit broad, maybe difficult to answer. Syempre, I don't really expect you to have all the answers. But in your opinion, we've talked about all of these things, but what are the ways that we can like make it easier for everyone here in this country to get around? And I know that systemic change and all that, but like right now, like within a reasonable time frame, na like within the next few years, ano ba mga kailangan mangyari para hindi naman natin maramdaman na parang nasa impyerno tayo pag nagbabiyahe tayo araw-araw?
True. Well, yun nga yung sinasabi kong we have to make it easier for people to choose anything else except for a car. So that includes walking, cycling, public transportation. And working from home. Honestly, really one of the biggest ways you can help is kung kaya mag-work from home, mag-work from home. So kung may nakikinig na mga kumpanya dyan na pwede naman mag-work from
utang
home.
Utang na loob.
Please, nagawa natin siya ng pandemic. Nakita niyo naman, walang traffic. So, Saan ka rin din. But yeah, that's really, those are really some ways. So I'll tackle first yung walking and cycling. This is just close to my heart. Yun, make it safer for people to walk and actually make dignified sidewalks and protected bike lanes, not just painted bike lanes. Because there are a lot of studies that show that even the fact that, you know, if you painted the bike lane there and then if you protected it, mas maraming percentage talaga of people yung magkoconsider na magbike. So they would consider cycling if it was protected. Like, and dire-diretso, of course, with no, you know, potholes, etc. That would be good. Like, imagine if you had a child or if you were a child, would you cycle here? That's a good question to ask yourself on the standards. Like, would you let a child cycle there? Would you let a child walk there?
Yeah, that's a cool one.
Yeah, like, would you, or even a Lola, would you let a Lola really climb the stairs of Shaw MRT? No. I wouldn't let my Lola do that. And I wouldn't want that either as a Lola. Ayun. So make it easier for people to walk and cycle. And then another thing is public transportation. So we didn't really touch on this a lot because I think it's a huge other topic. Honestly, we in the Philippines, not just in Metro Manila, we are undersupplied with public transportation. If you have observed, hindi mangyayari sa yung Sardinas moment, spam moment na nalusot sa MRT kung meron tayong enough transportation options and even like the frequency of our transportation. So yung mga buses natin, yung mga jeepneys, yung trains natin, understandably, there are trains being built now, yung ano, yung underground ngayon, yung mga trains dyan na MRT7, everything they're building now. That's good, but I think it's still not going to be enough. And it's so important to encourage people to use jeepneys, buses, and also, sure, tricycles. Yes, also, they're part of the transport tree. But yeah, and for that to happen, I think it's important to take care of our jeepney drivers, our cooperatives, etc. Because right now we're in the midst of trying to transition to modernize. And when we hear that term, it means a lot of people think, why don't jeepney drivers want to take e-jeeps na lang? Honestly, I have talked to so many jeepney drivers also, and they said, we have nothing against modernizing our jeeps, making it electric, etc. That's not the issue. The issue is the franchising. The issue is helping these jeepney drivers actually transition instead of just expecting that they'll pay 2,800,000 to 2 million pesos for a unit of an e-jeep by tomorrow. Medyo crazy yun. So that's a whole other can of worms that I will not get into now, but basically we have to improve our services, and to improve our services, we have to make it also fair for our transport workers and for those modes of transport. And then the last, which I said earlier, was to encourage people to work from home. That's not a joke, like legit. It really helps with the mobility. There's a concept in sustainable mobility called avoid, shift, and improve. Avoid meaning avoid making people do trips, so that's working from home. Shift is to shift from different transport modes. So for example, shifting from car to cycling. And then improve is really the last resort, honestly. It's, for example, electrifying a car. Ganon. But that's like the last resort. And usually I don't also encourage this, but you know, if you electrify a lot of public transport also, it could help. So yun, those are just some of the ways to make it easier. But, you know, basically the message is to make those choices easier to make instead of taking a car.
I love how you brought up jeepney modernization. And yun nga, kasi I think that's one of the things na for me, medyo heartbreaking to look at this issue. Kasi parang I've written like a couple of articles about jeepney modernization and I've talked to them then. I've actually talked to jeepney drivers then. And the thing is, a lot of people think that they're just anti-progress, they're just anti, ano, or they don't, or yung favorite ko, yung they don't understand. This is a very arrogant assumption that these people yeah. don't understand the implications of these old models on the environment. Ako parang, you are underestimating how smart these people are. They know yeah. this. They have to live with this every day. Who doesn't yeah. want to use a tool that's newer, that's good for them? Who doesn't want to feel na yung kabuhay nila ay hindi nakakasama sa kalikasan? Mm. The problem is, the methods or the process through which yung modernization is being planned to be carried out will greatly affect yung livelihood nila. And if you talk to these people, magugulat kayo just how much they know about yung climate crisis. They've attended yung mga workshops, they've attended mga conferences, they've sent representatives. They know that the thing is, we commuters, if we want this system to be modernized, we also have to fight for them. We also have to lobby for them. Na huwag silang gipitin. Huwag magipit yung mga taong ito na gawin namang realistic ba yung proseso ng pag-modernize, pag-upgrade. Because hindi sila anti-progress. They just want to live like the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So when we're talking about fighting for better public transport, we're not just talking about the commuters, we're also talking about the workers. Kasi magkakasama naman tayo lahat. Ayaw natin yung mga nangyayari, but at the same time, we have to be in it together and we have to understand then. So yeah, we're all in this together. Ika nga ni, ano, ni Troy Bolton.
Yeah. Oo. Ayan. Tama yun. Pero totoo naman, talagang siguro yun na yung pinaka, I mean, I asked earlier, how do we make it easier for everyone to get around in the Philippines? I think the easiest way is to get everyone involved.
Yes, exactly. To get everybody involved and to get everybody to be aware. And, yeah. you know, it's been happening. I've seen some people convert their car brain mind from you know, being dependent on a car to actually riding a bike outside. Through online discussions, through groups, when you're talking to family members, to friends in person, it really, really helps. And even memes, I don't know, it works for younger people, but you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, keep the discussion open and be open to learning. If whatever I said earlier sparks anger in you, yeah, let's just be open to learning. I'm also open to hear from people who, you know, depend on their cars. Honestly, it's really hard for families, for example. So yeah, be open to learning.
Yeah. And yeah, and I think a lot of people who are listening to this episode are probably like, gustong kumilos, gustong mag-participate sa iyong mga, sa, or in their own ways. But like if they wanted to reach out to you to ask about your initiatives, what would be the best ways to contact you?
To contact me? I actually have a website that I don't touch. But there's a contact form there. There's a contact form there, keishamayuga.com. But you can contact through there. Or you can also join groups. I'm part of two very important mobility groups in the Philippines. One is Alt Mobility PH. So you can reach out through Facebook, Twitter, Threads, I think, and yeah, through email, or through Move Us One Coalition, which is also on Facebook, Twitter, and also through email and Instagram. So yeah, and if you want to see what random bike adventures, you can also check out my Instagram on BikeKeish, BikeEish. I talk about transport there a lot, so if you want to learn, pwede din doon.
Kasualan na. All right. This was a very fun and educational talk. Lalo na about, it's about a topic that we relate tayong lahat. But if you had to leave like a final or one biggest takeaway, one thing that you want all of our listeners to know after listening to you talk about these things, ano yung parang message mo sa mga nakikinig or one thing na gusto mong maalala nila after this episode?
Oh nga, napaisip tuloy ako dun. Whatever transport mode you're taking right now, think about how your child or you as a lolo or a lola will move in a few years. Do you want to keep doing that? Or do you want to make your life easier? So let's fight for better transport choices. So you don't have to, you know, drive, wait in line, fear for your life forever. The end.
Yun. Yeah, tandaan natin yan lahat. And, you know, tama yan na yung laban na to, hindi lang to for us right now, hindi for the next generations, for the people we care about. And wouldn't it be nice to live in a country where everyone can bike peacefully or actually walk peacefully? And the best part, live somewhere that you don't have to wake up at 5 a.m. to make it to work by 9.
Yeah, exactly. The dream.
Definitely the dream. Yun.
Yeah.
I'm recording this at 10 p.m. So patapos na yung araw ko. But I know that your time zone is different. So medyo mahaba pa yung araw mo. And I'm very grateful that you were able to take some time, share a bit of your time, and as well as your knowledge and your expertise with me and the rest of our listeners. So thank you very much for being here on the podcast. And I learned a lot from you. I'm sure yung mga nakikinig learned a lot from you as well.
Thank you so much, Mikael, for inviting me in this podcast. And for you and for all the listeners, I hope na safe kayo sa biyahe nyo, kung saan man kayo po.
Yeah. Sana nga. Yeah. Stay safe, everyone. And stay safe. Keep in touch. And if there's anything we can help you with, dito sa Ask Theory or sa Flip Science, just let us know through email.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ask Theory. Follow Flip Science on Facebook, at Flip Science PH on Twitter, and at Flip Facts on Instagram. And check out our official Shopee store if you want to get copies of our books, Historiang Scientifico and Science Scramble. Stay curious.